morning. Sorry we were late this morning. Late people are always in a hurry. So let me hurry through this message, and then we'll hurry up and go home, and you know, hurry up and have lunch, and then hurry up and you know, take a nap, and hurry up and go to bed tonight. Hurry up and get up tomorrow morning and go to work, and hurry up and get up. Wow. I'll be glad when it's over. Well, anyway, good morning, and I just want to mention our last weekend with Paul Greenlee. I really enjoyed it. I really had a wonderful time, and the Lord just like gave me revelation, knowledge of Himself. I was just so thankful for that. And if you weren't able to be with us during it, he's more than willing to come back again next year. So we're really looking forward to that. Okay, so keep them guys in prayer, you know, because they're kind of doing the same thing we're doing. They have a small little fellowship of people. They're proclaiming Christ, and they're really praying to move forward with the gospel message, you know, to hit the streets with it. And that's kind of what they've been up to. They've been going quite a long time, their ministry has. But we've been going somewhere around like 13 or 14 years, right, Scott? Huh? 15, okay, yeah. But anyway, I want to say something about that. God is faithful. And Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." You know, when I read stuff like this, I want God's good pleasure in my life. I want to please Him. You ever feel that way? You know, there's only one way to please God, though, and that's to trust Him for everything that He says. You know, if you want to be pleasing to God, all you have to do is just trust Him. Just believe what He says. And that's our goal. That's His good pleasure. Our goal is His good pleasure. So let Him work that in you. Trust Him and believe what He says. It's really simple. It's not complicated. It's just a simple step of faith. And notice in this verse, it's not of yourself. Even our faith is a gift of God. You know, there's no substitute for a simple step of faith. You know, you can't substitute a simple step of faith for a simple prayer. You know, there's something different about trusting God and following His word. Just believe God. Just like we're going to see today at the end of chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians. The word ends with the word, I mean, that chapter ends with the word amen. And that word amen, it really means more than so be it. It means God said it. It's true. And by grace through faith, we can lay hold of that. Philippians 1:13, "For it is God who works." You know, I think for years and years I was waiting for God to just, you know, take control of me and like indwell me and make me do what He wanted me to do and like move me around. And, you know, I was waiting for something for a long time. I was waiting for probably like some kind of a feeling or something, you know. I wasn't really even sure what I was looking for, but I knew that somehow there had to be something true about what the Bible was saying about the Lord Jesus and about Him filling me and, you know, leading me into a holy life. I was just waiting to, you know, for God to come in and just like, you know, it would feel different, you know. I would just do what was right all the time, something like that. But as I continue to see in Scripture our wonderful Savior, and since by it's an amazing work of His grace that He is teaching me to set my heart to know Him. Because only God can open your eyes. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the Scripture says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So it's by knowing Jesus that we can understand what it means to walk in the light as He is in the light, for example. And you know, that will never change. And that's my prayer this morning for myself and for this little group of believers, that by a miracle of God, that He would open our eyes wider and wider so that we would set our eyes toward the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. To know the Lord Jesus in an intimate way. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Notice this passage. I think it's just a wonderful passage about the intimate heart of God toward his people. He will feed us. He will gather us like a shepherd. He will carry us in his bosom. Our good shepherd will bring us home, embracing the lambs all the way. Jesus will hug us all the way home. I love that. I just want to trust him for that. I want to believe him for that. I want to know Jesus in that way. You know, you've heard it said that God loves you, and that's true. Remember the way Billy Graham used to say it? God loves you. He used to say it like that all the time. But you know, it's also true that he not only loves us, he's in love with us. You know, you make his heart skip a beat. And you have to trust him for that. You have to believe that about him. Let your heart be set to know the love of God that passes knowledge and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing so, we'll be bringing the glory due his name to this lost and dying world. Let's take in all that he gives by a simple step of faith. So let's go before him this morning as a group of believers in this moment and ask him to do just that, to open the eyes of our heart that we would have a hunger and a thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ like we've never known before. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you're here with us. Lord, we're so thankful that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we thank you that your arms are wrapped around us right now and that you are going to hug us all the way home. Lord, give us that ability to trust you for that. Lord, we ask for that. We want to trust you in that, Lord. We want to know the intimacy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Lord, we don't need a stuffy dead religion. We want to know the living God. And we ask, Lord, that you would just fill this place with your glory this morning, Lord. And by that I mean, Lord, that you would open our hearts wide to receive all that you have for us, for this little group of believers, Lord, because we know, Lord, it doesn't take anything for you. Nothing is too hard for you. Lord, you can open the eyes of the Apostle Paul, and you can open our eyes. And we see that in Scripture. We thank you for that this morning, Lord, and we're going to trust you for it. So this morning, we're picking up our study in the book of Ephesians. And today, we're going to continue to look at chapter 3 and complete our look at this chapter, I think. But I doubt we'll probably get all the way through it. You know, this study that we've been going through here is really, truth be told, only very much scratching the surface, if anything. We're just barely getting like a little bit beneath the surface with it because there is so much. The letter to the Ephesians is so rich. It's unsearchably rich. It's unfathomably rich. It's incomprehensibly rich. It's amazingly rich. So, you know, and our key verse for this study is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, the last five words, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Lord Jesus is rich in every way, and we see that we see what we have in him through this letter. It's unlimited resources. You know, the riches and the resources in Christ are unlimited. That means they're never ending. And you may say that the we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, and yeah, that's great, you know, but how can that help me now? You know, what good do spiritual blessings do for me now? You know, God in his wisdom, his manifold wisdom, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And you say, yeah, that's great. That is great. That's great for later, but not for now. That's just a pie-in-the-sky message. No. You know, God in his wisdom gave us Christ. that we can live in union with him by faith. And I want to say this, the lesser is included in the greater. If you can lift 100 pounds, you should have no problem lifting 10 pounds, right? Our physical needs are included in the spiritual blessings, in our rich union with Christ. So our physical needs are caught up. So by understanding and pursuing the knowledge of Christ and understanding the spiritual blessings and the position that we stand in Christ, that meets every need that we have. Like, the physical needs are like 10 pounds compared to the 1,000 pounds of our spiritual need. So Psalm 78, in verse 41, this psalm, if you're familiar with it, or if you haven't been familiar with it, read through it. Because there's something really profound in this psalm, and something that I'm going to try to communicate this morning. Psalm 78, verse 41 says, yes, again and again they tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. That was one of Israel's great sins against God, limiting God. And, you know, I've been guilty of that many times over. You know what it is, it's like it's not trusting God. Limiting God for what he really says that he wants to do in your life or in the life of a believer. We have this wonderful revelation of Christ in the book of Ephesians, unsearchable riches in Christ. It's all ours. Don't miss it. This is life-changing. Do not limit the Holy One of Israel. Ephesians shows us what we have in Christ through our union with him. And may God, by his grace, open our eyes to see it and to know it. Let's not limit God. Let's not let this pass us by, saying, yeah, I know all that. I've done just that for a really long time. I've heard scripture, and it was like I was resilient. It would just roll right off of me, and I didn't let it soak in. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say this morning. Let's let the message of the book of Ephesians, who we are in Christ, the fact that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, let it soak in. Let it bring forth its fruit. You know, there's an analogy. You know, the Bible says that, well, the Bible says it, but I'm going to say this. Every physical thing that God has created has a spiritual lesson for us in it. Like the sun in the sky, for example. There's only one sun. There's only one Son of God. Without that sun in our universe, this earth would not be able to sustain any life whatsoever. So because of the sun, the earth blooms and brings forth fruit and buds because of the sun. If there was no sun, this would just shrivel up and die. So the idea is, in our physical world, we see the spiritual picture. And what does it mean to glorify God? Receive all that he has. Don't let your heart become hard and say, yeah, I know that. Yes, I've heard that. Let's move on to something a little different. No, let's just soak in what we have in Christ. Let's receive it and then let the Lord God bring forth fruit out of our life. That's how God will be glorified. It doesn't matter how many people are here. There could be 20 people. There could be 5 people. There could be one person. God can bring forth fruit and glorify his name through that group. So, let's not limit God, and let's not let this book pass us by. No matter how long you've been a Christian, this is for us right now. I've been reading the letter to the Ephesians for 40 years. I've never seen it like I see it now. I've never taken the time to really soak it in like I'm soaking it in now. And it has lit my heart on fire. I have to be honest with you. You know, the Lord could pull you out of the deepest rut. It don't matter how long you've been down in that rut. It doesn't matter how far down you've sunk, how far you've drifted from the Lord. It doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what God says. And that's what amen means. Amen Let it be so in my life, Lord, because it's true. You know, the inspired human author of the letter to the Ephesians was the Apostle Paul. He was the lowest of the low, a heart full of Pharisee pride, going his own way, doing his own thing. Really a perfect picture of Jacob, trying to take the promises of God and make them come true in his own flesh. Fleshing out what God's word says. Murdering Christians as a result. He was the lowest of low. You know, if God can reach down and open that guy's eyes, God can reach down this morning and open our eyes wider and wider and wider. You know, that all happened to Paul. God allowed him to see his own blindness. And then by a miracle of God, God opened his eyes. God can open our eyes to the truth of union with Christ also, because that's the heart of the message of the letter to Ephesians. Remember in chapter 3, verse 3, the Apostle Paul said how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly already written. And then in verse 4 in chapter 3, the mystery of Christ. And then in verse 5, it was revealed by the Spirit. So again, we see how God opened Paul's eyes by revelation. It was revealed by the Holy Spirit. In the first 13 verses, you might think that the mystery, you might be, like if you read the first, we read it last week, but if you read the first 13 verses of chapter 3, you might think that this mystery that he's referring to is about the Gentiles now being able to be part of the body of Christ. You know, that Jesus has, through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, has broken down the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. Now, that's part of it, but that's not what he's really talking about. You know, you would think by reading it, and when I was beginning to study this, and I was studying it, and then as I started to study it, I saw it deeper and richer and clearer as I looked at it, you know, that Paul wasn't, see, I almost got this impression like Paul was given this task by God to make known among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. But that's in there, okay? But it's also in there for you as well. Just like Paul, our brother, last week was teaching that the seed, you know, that Christ, the seed, it was going through every generation, and now the seed is coming through us. So we are the vine that has the seed that we can plant in this world. So the same idea was, I was looking at this originally as Paul was a special guy, you know, the big apostle that had this special message to share with the world. But you know, what we're really seeing, if you read this carefully, what you'll see is it's for every believer to receive the knowledge of the mystery of Christ the same way. The Holy Spirit has to open your eyes as an individual to see the Lord Jesus in the way that Paul saw him there. And that's why I put on your handout there that this the mystery, and I'm just for the sake of time, I'm going to try to define it quickly. It's chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians in verse 32, where he identifies what the great mystery is. The great mystery, he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And the mystery is in Colossians 1:27, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what union with Christ is. And so Paul, this whole letter is kind of centralizing around that theme. Although, if you don't understand it, you might miss it. And you might think it's talking about, you know, this and that and all these other things. But really what Paul is trying to establish here is that by revelation knowledge of Christ, God has to open your eyes to see the fact that we have union with the Lord Jesus. So it's by the Spirit opening this mystery up to our heart. And that's how we can enter in to all that we have in Christ. It's by revelation, by knowing our spiritual blindness and by God pulling away the veil. You know, I admit right now that I have spiritual blind spots today. Like, I don't know anything. You know, but the Lord is continually taking the veil away so that I can see a greater view of the Lord Jesus. And that's what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. As you trust Him to take the veil away, He will do that in your life. You know? So Paul is not really some big apostle that we should put up on some big platform. Really, he said about himself, he said, I'm a nobody. And we looked at those verses last week. He said he was the chief of sinners. He was like, oh, no, wait, you guys got it all wrong. The only thing that people see in Paul, and they think, well, what a great guy. Well, I mean, God did use him to write most of the New Testament, okay? But you would think he'd have a big head about that. But he saw who he was. He knew he was a nobody. He knew apart from Christ he was nothing. And that's where, and see, he's not our representative. He's our example. That's the way we should look at the Apostle Paul. He's the example of what the Christian life should look like. It's by revelation that we see our union with Christ. It's by God taking away the veil through His grace and His mercy by the simple step of faith. So it's spiritual blindness that has really held back the church. And because of spiritual blindness, we also are guilty of limiting the Holy One of Israel. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying this to put you on a guilt trip. Most of the messages that you hear preached around the world today, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of the messages you hear are aimed at guilt and manipulation. You know, the Lord, if this is a revelation of Christ, you will want to feel His embrace. You won't want to run and hide and put fig leaves on your life. So that's my heart, is to share Christ with you and to proclaim His goodness. You know, not to put you on a guilt trip. But with that said, I don't want to limit God. I want to trust Him for all that He's given us and all that we are in Him. You know, Paul can't do for you. There's no, I mean, you know, Paul was laid upon the foundation of Christ. Paul had a foundation. He's not the foundation. The apostles aren't the foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation. There's no other foundation in Christianity. Even the Apostle Paul, the only difference with the Apostle Paul is God opened his eyes. God opened the apostle's eyes in the revelation of Jesus Christ. God opened Luke's eyes. God opened believers' eyes to see Christ. That's what made them leaders. That's what made them noticeable. That's what, you know, the glory of God was just radiating out of their life because their eyes were open and they were just receiving all that Christ was giving. So that's a simple step of faith. Lord, open our eyes and we'll trust you for it. I'm walking today with my eyes wide open, as wide as I can get them. But there's spiritual blindness still. I got some kind of spiritual cataract, so the Lord's going to have to do surgery and open my eyes more so that I can see more. But, you know, so God's will for it's God's will for every Christian that we walk in all the fullness that the Lord has for His church, right? To enter into all that God offers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so reminding you, if you get a minute, read through Psalm 78 and you'll see the peril and the loss that Israel experienced by limiting the Holy One of Israel. I don't want to limit God. And by faith, we don't have to. So, you know, with that said, back to chapter 3, later on in the chapter, as we move down to chapter 3, this is still kind of a little bit of a review, but the spiritual world is watching right now. The angels are learning the grace of God through us right now. Right here this morning, this room is full of angels. You can't see them. It's true. Believe it. It's true. There's principalities and powers. It's spiritual wickedness in this room. And then there's the good angels. But we're teaching them a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Through us and through you. The angels are like, their jaws are dropped. And let's face it, angels are pretty brilliant, okay? They're not dumb. Like, I think, like, an angel can, like, in the heavenly realm, you know, from my understanding of it, which these are human words, so they're going to be kind of lame, but there's no corners up there. There's no shadows. There's nowhere to hide. You can't get behind this mountain or behind this wall. There's no walls in heaven. It's all open. It's all naked and laid bare, you know. So, you know, the angels are, like, here, and it's a different realm. And they're looking in, and they're seeing how God is working with each one of us. They see everything. You know what I mean? Just like God sees everything. See, they're learning something about the love of God that they couldn't learn any other way, through watching how God showers his wonderful grace on his church. See, and that's verse 3:10. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known, made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Remember, the heavenly places means the spiritual realm. And that's what's happening right now. They're observing the church and they're learning how God loves his people, how God is hugging each lamb. Everybody that names the name of Christ is being embraced by the Lord Jesus. We're being carried in his bosom right now. The church is teaching angels about the grace of God. But that's really a study for another time, because there's many verses, many references that could go along with that. You could really establish a long study out of that. But so last week I also mentioned that this chapter, chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians, is basically a big parenthesis. Like if you look at verse 1, for example, you'll see a dash. After I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, there's a dash. And then he picks it back up in chapter 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, Paul. You know, therefore, I, Paul, a prisoner. So it's like one big parenthesis. But it's a wonderful thing that he took the time to give us chapter 3. Because what he's saying by giving us chapter 3 is he's like, chapters 1 and 2 are so rich in the revelation knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't just like get out of there and tell you what you got to do now. And that's what chapters 4 through 6 will basically do. They will show us our responsibilities that we have as a result of all that we've received in Christ. So he had more to say, and he just couldn't pass it by. Some people say it's kind of like he was in the treasure room, this of the beautiful treasures of life in Christ, and he was at the threshold of the door of the treasure room, leaving the room, and he's like, wait a minute, one more thing before I go. And he had to share this other information with us. And then what we're going to see as we continue in this, that the whole message to this point was union with Christ and how that we can, you know, like if you receive that message, then chapters 4 through 6 will become a reality in your life. But if you can't receive the message of union with Christ and that it's all him and that he does all the work and we're like the earth and the sun, what can the earth do for the sun? Think about that in the physical picture. What can the earth do? What can a believer do for the Lord? What can the earth do for the sun? The sun has no needs. The sun is a giver. That's all it does is radiate glory and gives. It radiates life to the earth. And that's what the picture is the Lord Jesus Christ does for the church. So as the church, all we can do is receive all that he has. And that's how we glorify the Lord. That's what really, that's part of it. I'm not sure if that's all of it, because I've been asking the Lord for quite a few years to help me to understand what it means, glory, you know, what his glory means, you know. But that's one thing that I feel like he's opened my eyes to see, is that when we receive all that he gives, then there can be that real fruit that truly glorifies God. And then there's a prayer that we're coming to in this chapter. So now for the prayer, this is really beginning in verse, whatever it is, 13, I guess. But when we read the prayer, you'll see by the time you get to the end of the prayer, it really is about praying for the glory of God, to see God glorified in this world. So this is inspired praying. You know, if you want to learn how to pray for other people, and we should, Yeah, I have to say that. We should pray for one another this way. This is one of the most powerful prayers you'll ever see anywhere. I mean, like, if you open that hymnal, there'll be prayers in there that the group is supposed to recite. They're pretty great, you know, but there's nothing like this. These prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed in prison, it's like God just took the curtain back while Paul was in there praying. And he just poured out his heart in this way. These are powerful prayers. They're unbelievable prayers. And we can learn so much from them, you know. Like the disciples' request in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples to pray.'" Now, how many times have you come to a place where you're just out of words and you say, "Lord, I don't know what to pray"? This is a great time to open up to the prison prayers of Paul. There's four of them, and each one of them, they're just loaded with content to teach you how to pray. So, you know, Jesus went on to give them the Lord's Prayer in this passage in Luke, but we also, this is something that you can ask the Lord to teach you to pray right now, and you start looking at these prison prayers of Paul, and you will learn stuff. It's, you know, this is what's real. You know what I mean? Like, in my life, like, I hate imitation things. I said this a couple times before. I don't like fake things. I can't stand the knockoff. I want what's real. I want reality. And you know what? I want my prayers to count. I want my prayer life to be real before God. Like, I don't want it to be some, like, clown show, like, you know, like, coming from the natural man. I want it to come from the innermost being of my soul. I want it to be from the spiritual man. And then, you know, the promise of that is that there will be fruit. And that God will answer those prayers, you know. So I want to learn how to pray effectively. And so Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, shows us what inspired praying looks like. You know, remember, you can learn a lot by studying these prayers. And when I compare my prayer life to this, I realize how, weak it's been. You know, no guilt trip. You know, I'm just saying, you know, like, I realized that, you know, I was always praying for the good of man. Like, oh, you know, he broke his arm. Lord, help him to recover. You know, like, always praying for the good of man. But, you know, when I said that the lesser is included in the greater, if you pray for the glory of God, the good of that brother or these sisters or this group will be taken into, be swept up when the glory of God is being prayed for. So, you know, like, so the main goal of this prayer is for the glory of God. That's what we see here. It's for God to be glorified. So God gets the glory. And that alone, when you start looking at your prayer life like that, you start saying, "Lord, I want to pray like Paul prayed." Well, if you pray for the glory of God, it'll change your prayer life. So let's read the prayer. And then at the end of the prayer, there's the last two verses. Paul, you know, he's so, like, whipped up by what he laid out in chapter 1 and 2 that he just launches into this unbelievable prayer. And then at the end of the prayer, he just bursts into a song. The last two verses are technically like a song. You'll see that. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21, let's read that. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Now, what a prayer. Is that amazing? Look at the content in this prayer. So you know, the prayer comes after chapter 1 and 2. Paul is just so wrapped up in the riches that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ that he just launches into this unbelievable prayer. And he's praying for the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, and that includes us. You know, he's praying down the line for us. And this is teaching us how to pray. What a wonderful position that by God's grace has placed us in Christ. You know, the unlimited resources of chapter 1 and 2. Paul is saying, Lord, don't let them miss that. Lord, let them receive it in the core of their being. Let them be strengthened with might in their inner man. You know, these unfathomable riches, these unsearchable riches, the incomprehensible wealth belonging to the Christ. Paul just falls to his knees. He says, for this reason. You notice how that prayer begins? It's for this reason. For what you are and what you've done and who you are and how you're ministering to your body. How you're building up the church of God, Lord Jesus. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. After all that we just poured out, it's for that reason that I appeal to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of Christ has become your Father and the Father of the whole family. That's what we see here in heaven and on earth. It's the same family. It's one family. It's the same Father. That he, the Father of glory, would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now that's quite a prayer. That the Father of glory would grant you according to the riches of his glory. You know, if I had $1,000 in my bank account, and I give somebody $100, right, I'm depleting my riches. Like I only got $900 left. Right? So when God gives according to his riches. See, his resources are unlimited. He's not running low. He's not thinning his bank account down. His resources, he's the source of all resources. That's who this prayer's to. It's to the Father of glory. This isn't a prayer to like some rich man somewhere. Like, you know, like Donald Trump or something. Hey, can you give me $1 million? You know, if Donald Trump gives me $1 million, he's going to be short $1 million. He's not the source of money. He's not the source of riches. That's probably a bad picture. But anyway, you get the point. So God is never depleting his resources. He's never running low. He's never running out. And God will never say, fresh out. Sorry. God will never say, it's on back order. Don't have any of that left. We're waiting for some more to come in. That's not our Father. And that's not the way Paul is viewing our Father here. The way Paul sees God. Paul sees a big God, the source of unlimited resources. He gives according to his riches, not out of them. He's not depleting his accounts. Paul knew that, you know, and think about his life. I mean, how God took him from the depths, from the pit that the Apostle Paul was in, to the heights of being seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Paul totally understood that by revelation. His eyes of his union with Christ were open, and he was like into it. And he's like, dude, I want the whole church to get this. I want everybody that names the name of Christ to enter into all that they have. And that's what Paul knew. He knew what it meant. The Apostle Paul knew what it meant to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. You know, pray that for me. I'll pray it for you. Let's pray it for one another. That we would be strengthened with might in the inner man. Well, what is the inner man? Not the outward man. The outward man is perishing. The outward man, the physical life, it's fading away. And us that are getting older, I don't have to say it, we know it. We know what it feels like to start to fade away. But we can be strengthened in our spiritual man right now. And that's what Paul's praying. that they would realize the strength that's available in their inner man, in their spiritual man. We need spiritual strength in the inner man. And then in verse 17, Paul says, there's a reason why we need strength in the inner man. And if you follow this, this is really sweet. Because you're going to notice the word that comes up like three times. So they need strength in their inner man that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. Notice it. That. So we need to be strengthened in the core of our being that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. So we need the spiritual strength first, and then we can, by through faith, Christ may dwell in our hearts. Now, this is a really beautiful prayer if you follow this. Notice that spiritual strength, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, the word dwell here, I hope you're familiar with this. I mean, it's delightful. It's an interesting choice of words that Paul says here, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, right? And from the Greek, it means that Christ would be at home in your heart. Now, if you're a Christian, your heart is already God's home, okay? There's no question about that. Our heart is God's home. But what's being said here is something different. He is saying that Christ may dwell or be at home or be welcome or feel comfortable. The idea is that Jesus can hang out in your heart and kick his shoes off and put his feet up on the end table. That's really what the Greek word means, literally. Kenneth Wiest, in his Greek expanded translation of the New Testament, this verse reads like this, that Christ may finally settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts through faith. This is what Paul's praying for the church, that we would be strengthened with might, that, or so that, Christ would feel comfortable in our hearts. So that Christ in you and you in him, union with Christ, is illustrated right here. It's also illustrated by the next thing he says, by the plant and the soil. The love relationship. Our roots are drawing from him. All we need, our roots are going down and growing in Christ. And our roots are grounding us. Grounded, the scripture says here. We're grounded. We're stable in our love union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Grounded means that they're not all over the place. Lord, let them see that. Show them that. That they're sticking to the roots are going deep. And they're drawing all their resources from you. We're not all over the place. That's why Paul says that you being rooted, that you as believers may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Really what Paul's saying here is, Lord, open their eyes to see how big. Open their eyes so that they can see you in all the dimensions that you present yourself as. It can only be done through being strengthened with all might and Christ dwelling in your heart through faith. Notice that he says that you as believers would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height and the width, the length and the depth and the height, all the dimensions. And verse 19, for the purpose of to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. How can you know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge? And then he goes on to say that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, what kind of prayer is this? This is real, dude. This is like serious, hardcore spiritual. Like, we're talking about a church that is filled with all the fullness of God. As each individual is filled with all the fullness of God. Please pray that for me, because I want that. And I'm praying it for you. And that's what Paul's doing here. You know, have you ever been bold in prayer like this for other believers? I mean, I think we pray so meagerly sometimes. Lord, he's got a flat tire. He's going to, Lord, you know, he won't be able to get to work on time. Can you, if you got some spare flat tire, fix it for him. You know, like, that's our prayer life a lot of times. If you really come right down to it, it's kind of meager. You know, now God is really good about that because I have a little illustration. I have this little grandson named Tucker, and he doesn't speak very good English, but he says a lot, right? It's really hard to understand him. So my daughter's standing there, and she interprets everything he says because she gets the language. That's how the Holy Spirit is with us. You know, we're praying, Lord, you know, he's got a flat tire. And the Holy Spirit's there, no, he needs strengthened with might in the inner man, so that he can be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, the Holy Spirit knows how to translate our prayers. You know, so I'm not knocking your prayer life. I'm not knocking my prayer life. I mean, but this is a prayer life here. This is hardcore. You know, you hear these people say, well, she's really a prayer warrior, or he's really a prayer warrior. You know, you hear that all the time. Well, that's all they do is pray. They're prayer warrior. You know, and if you really examine a lot of praying, it's a mess. It's not really for the glory of God. So the whole idea of this prayer is that God would be glorified no matter what happens in the physical world, no matter what happens to you physically. You know, let God be glorified, and then your physical needs will be swept up in that. You know, Paul knew that. Do you know that? I want to know that. I want to trust God for that. I want to pray like that. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters like that. I want to pray for my children like that, that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. I love the analogy that F.B. Meyer uses. He uses the analogy of a sea sponge. And, you know, you got this little tiny sea sponge, right? And this huge, you know, like oceans of the world, you know, that's kind of a picture of God, although he's bigger than that. It's kind of a, you know, every picture breaks down. But this little sponge can't get any more of God in it. And it's in God. And God's in it. And that's what it means to be filled with the fullness of God. Like, it's not like something like, I'm waiting for that to happen to me. You know, I'm waiting to get a spiritual life to where I can really sense the presence of God in my life, and I'd be filled with the fullness of God, and God would have control of me, and I would be doing everything perfect. It's never going to be like that. It's just a simple step of faith. It's trusting to believe what he said. He says these things. You believe it? Then all you have to do is say amen. And that's what the Apostle Paul ends his prayer with. He says amen. I'm going to look at the song next week because I don't want to run out of time. But, you know, Paul knew who he was praying to. He knew he was praying to the great God and the loving maker of the universe. And, you know, the universe is, you know, it's a really big deal, and everybody's all hung up on it and studying it and all. But let me tell you something about the universe. It is physical, but it's a picture. And it's, and God, one day, he's going to roll it up like a scroll, and he's going to get rid of it. You know, there's nothing mystical about the universe. It's a picture of how expansive the living God is, and how unfathomable and how unsearchable the riches that we have. You start to look at some of this stuff that Louis Giglio was bringing out, these space cameras that went out like 20 years out and farther and farther, and some of the beautiful, just unbelievable jewels. It just looks like just this beautiful treasure chest of beauty. But it's a picture of the living God. And that picture breaks down because we can't see the end of it. And no human words, you know, can describe how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's why Paul says the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't know it. And it's going to take forever. And he'll still outrun us and still show us something we haven't seen of him. All he's going to do in the future is just expand our capacity to receive more and more of the Lord Jesus. So, you know, the idea is, and I want to hammer this home because it's a simple step of faith. And that, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. He's given us that faith, so just trust him for it. Just say, you know what, I'm going to just trust God. You know, I read this little quote by George Mueller, and I thought it was really cool. And I hope I don't mix it up. But he says, faith ends where anxiety begins. And anxiety begins where faith ends. Did I say that right? But, you know, the idea is like a simple step of faith, just trust God. You know, just trust God for what he says. I mean, just what he says is unbelievable. You know, like the way Paul prays for the church here, it's just unbelievable that they would be filled. I mean, and next week I'm going to put it together with the song, Exceedingly Abundantly Above All We Ask or Think. And you just meditate on that this week, and then next week we'll put something together and just bring that up, because exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think that you would be filled with. That's Paul's prayer. Filled with all the fullness of God. With Jesus kicked back in your heart with his feet up on the end table. That's how comfortable he is in your heart. I mean, that's Paul's prayer for the church. And strengthened with all might in the inner man. So, thanks for listening, and thanks for your attention. And I just hope that you see the Lord in this, because it's been really awesome for me to study through it and to just see how big God is. These prayers are just phenomenal. This is what it means to increase in the knowledge of God. Say, hey, this is how to, you want to learn how to pray? Pray these kind of prayers, you know? Simple. And then just take that simple step of faith and say, hey, you know, Paul prayed like this, Lord, so I'm going to pray like this too, okay? But I'm going to trust you that you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or even can think. That's how good the Lord is. And if you take that statement, that little verse right there, and you just take everything away from it and just say, able to do all, and then you start to add the modifiers back in, it's rich. That's how our God is. So thank you for your attention. Father, we thank you so much for your great word that you, and only you can open it up to our hearts. Only you can show us the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come to you with a meager heart today. We're asking, Lord, that you would fill us with all the fullness. Lord, that you would strengthen us in the core of our being, in our spiritual man, Lord. That we would know the love of God that passes knowledge. Lord, that we could just learn that. If we could even just get a glimpse of that. Lord, if you would just open the eyes of our hearts to see it. And we're going to trust you for that, Lord, because we know it's your will that every believer, that every Christian come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Just continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. Lord, because you're so amazing, we can only get a little tiny bit at a time. But Lord, expand our capacities for more of you. That's what we need. Lord, we don't need more cash to make the bills. We don't need more of this or more of that. We need you. And we confess that this morning. And Lord, we just ask that you would open our eyes wide to see Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a question for you. So you're looking at the